And we're in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We read this last week as well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable, this is your spiritual act of worship. Any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, speaking to the Christians at Rome, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God or God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Now, this is the last message that we're planning at this time for the series on spiritual gifts, Born Gifted. So we're going to do a few things differently today. I would like to tie things together because some people have said that it might be good just to briefly review some of the things we've talked on. I'd also like to engage some other people in the congregation as to what they're doing in a less visible way. So often we see ministry simply as what happens on this pulpit on Sunday or within this building on Sunday. And this is only a fraction, the tip of the iceberg, as to the service that is accomplished within the family of God. So, let's start. The first lesson had been, and the first two lessons had been on our attitudes with respect to spiritual gifts. And I started with 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, giving us, I think, the whole summary of what spiritual gifts are about in these two verses. Peter writes to Christians. He says, "Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering, acting as a faithful trustee for God's grace in its various forms." And then to sort of describe to us what spiritual gifts are, it's not me doing something. It's God through me as the Christian, God through you as the Christian, touching the lives of other people. He continues His work through the church, through people who have received the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone speaks, he or she should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he or she should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we saw there that the purpose of gifts, the attitude with which we hold gifts, is to serve others. It's not about me. And it's allowing God to work through you, to work through me, to touch the lives of other people. We become the extension. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we touched on the other attitude that we cannot serve God in isolation. We must be part of the community of faith. And Paul, when teaching on this, teaches it as being part of the anatomy of a human body. And remember the analogy that I used that some people thought was disgusting, but I'll go through it again because I thought it was quite good. Humbly speaking, of course. The idea of the severed finger. A finger is really an amazing work of engineering and art. It's just a beautiful part of the body and so useful when it's attached to a hand. But sever the finger and allow it to lie bleeding in the dirt. And really, it speaks of pain and loss and of an appendage to the body that no longer really has any purpose. And you may be here this morning, but not connected, not participating as a part of the community of faith, as the body of Christ. You're like a severed finger. Well, amazingly, God, who can resurrect bodies, can also reattach severed fingers. So if you are not connected to the body, you're not going to be of much use at all to God's plan until you get connected. As useful as a severed body, squirming all by itself in the dirt. No purpose, no practicality. So those were the two attitudes, serving others for Christ and being attached as a participating part of the body. One thing, people sort of lost sight of some of the gifts as well. We only talked about some of the spiritual gifts, 8 of them in particular. None of the lists of gifts in the New Testament are identical, which would lead me to believe that none of the gifts are exhaustive, and we don't have necessarily a complete list of spiritual gifts. So we only dealt with about 8 of them. And just to go over those 8 again, there was the gift of serving, or the gift of ministry in the King James, is the idea of a person who takes resources and actually applies them to the need of the person. You'll remember the analogy we used is actually taking clothes from a clothing bank or somewhere and actually putting them on a person who is not adequately dressed. Taking food and not simply throwing cans of Campbell's soup at them, but actually opening the cans, heating them up, and serving them with edible food. Taking resources to meet real needs of people. And then we saw teaching. You don't need to know any more about teaching. Right? We know what teaching is. Or do we? Encouraging, though, is the idea, parakaleo in the Greek, was the idea, I use the analogy, I'll just use the pictures that I've used, of the coach who is beside the athlete, encouraging the athlete to apply what he or she has already learned as the athlete. So the coach is there to encourage, which means to push them to the full extent of what they already know and to their natural abilities. And so, in the context of the spiritual gift, could you just turn this down a bit? In the context of the spiritual gift, the idea is having taught what the Word of God says, the encourager comes alongside and encourages us to apply, to put into practice what we already know. That's what an encourager does in many respects. And I don't want to limit that either. Giving is a person who has the opportunity, the ability, spiritual ability, to be able to acquire and give exceedingly abundantly above what others do. They're giving. You remember the picture of Joseph the Levite in chapter 4 of Acts, who sold a piece of property that had probably been part of his inheritance. And he took the resources, took the money from selling that piece of property, and he laid it at the feet of the apostles for the purpose of serving those, feeding those who were hungry. It's got a sacrificial heart that goes along with giving, to give generously. In fact, when it talks about giving there, where is it? In verse 8 of chapter 12 of Romans, it talks about if it is contributing to the needs of others, if it is a gift of giving, let him give generously. And the idea of the word generously there is the Greek word hilaros. And you can guess what word we get from that. This person is to be a hilarious giver. Just absolute joy in giving. Remember one man, I read about this, one man who just gave so sacrificially, people asked how he could have enough to live on himself. And he says, well, I just take with my shovel, and it's as if I'm shoveling from my resources into God's resources. And God takes his shovel, and he shovels back to me because he knows that I'm going to be using it faithfully. And his shovel's a way bigger than mine. God, we don't give to get. I mean, that's one of the sad parts of those people who teach, I would believe, a heresy, the wealth and health gospel. The idea that we give so that we can get. The idea that if I give $10, well, God's going to give to me $100. So it's just a way of, you know, why work? It's the whole idea here of sacrificial giving. I give because I want to bless other people. I give because that's the way God has equipped me. And so in the context of the person who had the food or the clothing to supply the people who had the need, the person who has the gift of giving supplies the resources so that person with the gift of serving can take from those resources and apply to the needs of others. And then we had the gift of showing mercy, which I defined very quickly, I'll define this again, is a person who has that gift from God, who can come up beside a person who is completely wiped out. They're on the downward tailspin. There's just no way of recovering. They don't have the resources to pull up. And they can somehow touch that person's life to provide that, whatever it's needed, to give them victory in their lives over that thing that is bringing them down. Whether it could be health, we saw that with respect to Epaphroditus in the book of Philippians, was it? And it could be over depression, it could be over any number of things, but they can come into that person's life and provide that something that's necessary to give them victory. And we had the gift of helps, and that was the idea, antilepsis, was the idea of a person who's carrying a stretcher. That's their ministry, to get the sick person to the aid station. So they're pulling along with the one end of the stretcher with the, victim's not the right person, the hurt, you know, whatever, the person thing. Maybe you've got a severed finger or something. Severed foot, probably. And they're dragging them along. Well, the gift of helps is a person who comes and picks up the other end of the stretcher. And the gift of helps is a person who helps, who comes up over against another person to assist them in carrying out their spiritual objective. So it's not necessarily their gift that's being fulfilled, but their gift is to help somebody else accomplish their spiritual objective. So with respect to the gift of teaching here this morning, there are other people that are helping, who are on sound or who have helped print up the outline we've got, who have put up this. Those kind of things are in the realm, I would suggest, of gifts of helps. But I don't want to be limiting gift of helps to that either. Far more than that. And then the gift of administration, and the word there for administration was the word kubernetos, which is the idea of, the only other time that that's used in the New Testament is with respect to the pilot or navigator of a ship. And so the gift of administration is a person who you want on your team when you're involved in some kind of a project, because they know how to get from point A to point B and miss the reefs. Take advantage of the currents and the winds. They're the people that you want on the team when you're working on a project to accomplish the goal efficiently. Now, I'm going to be asking a number of people here. Maybe they could sort of move up to the front at this point so we can minimize the time sort of shifting back and forth. But I want to just talk to, I want them to explain to you something. We'll come to that in a minute. While they're moving forward, I want to read to you the tale of spilt milk. Any time, guys? The tale of spilt milk. The idea is that gifts don't operate in isolation from each other. They operate together, just like the parts of a body working together so you have a harmonious body. So if you want to move the body, you've got to work in harmony.
But if a... Oh, my. Sometimes there are people who are members of the church that don't cooperate.
Sorry about that, John.
Tale of the spilt milk. A visitor was in the kitchen of this very building and was given a glass of milk to drink. As the visitor raised the glass to his lips, it's a sloppy male here, the glass slipped, fell to the ground, and broke. So broken glass, spilt milk was all over the floor. Immediately, people converged on this disaster. Now, this is a little analogy of how gifts may work together. The person with the gift of serving went to the fridge, found the carton of milk that had been provided by the person with the gift of giving. She poured the milk into the new glass and put it into the hand of the embarrassed visitor, who at that moment was speaking to another person who had the gift of showing mercy. Without this, the visitor would have run from the scene, never to return. He was so mortified. While this was going on, a person with the gift of administration alerted another couple of people with the gift of helps, and they went to work quietly and efficiently cleaning up the mess. When all was stabilizing, the teacher came along and explained the proper method of how to drink from a glass of milk. After which, the person with the gift of exhortation or encouragement enthused the person, the now educated and subdued visitor, to put into practice what he had learned from the teaching, so that this kind of experience would never happen again in his life. The visitor overcame this problem with the gracious and collective efforts of the community working together. Stayed to drink more milk, was induced to later eat some meat, and they all lived happily ever after. So you can see, that's just a small story to see how that we all work together. So what you see here on Sunday is really just a little bit. Is there a red mark in the middle of my forehead now? I can still feel something. The idea that we only serve if we serve in this building for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning is dead wrong. Service of the body of Christ goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And most of the service, I would suggest to you, happens elsewhere from this building and at other times than Sunday. So what I want to do is just give you just a glimpse, 2 to 3 minutes from each of these persons. No more. There will be a gong. But the idea here is that you can just get a little taste of some of the things, because we could ask so many other people in the church, and you don't know what services they're involved with. You have people who are maybe relatively new to the church who are asking, why doesn't the church do this? And I'm able to say, but we do. You just don't know about it. So we'll deal with a few of them first. We'll just 2 to 3 minutes. We'll start with Leslie. Thanks. And... is that on?
For those who do not know what the Alpha course is, it's a practical introduction to Christianity or Christian faith. The acronym for Alpha is anyone interested in finding about the faith. L for learning and laughter. Make it fun while you're learning as well. People, P for people meeting together, an opportunity to get to know others. And H, helping one another. The small groups give us a good chance to meet and get to know one another. And A, ask anything. Any question goes in Alpha discussion groups. Who is it geared to? It's geared to people interested in Christianity, newcomers to the church, new Christians, couples preparing for marriage, and for Christians who wish to brush up on their basics. We will meet every Tuesday from 6:30 to 9, starting January 11th. That is after all the festivities are done. I've got a schedule which will be posted up in the back. Now, Alpha doesn't take place and is conducted by one person. This is an opportunity for us to practice what we've been learning, the gifts, and it's a multifaceted opportunity. We will require a lot of help. Here's a list of volunteers required. It's a task list. It will be posted in the back and one in the kitchen downstairs, because I think the highlight of Alpha is the dinner, the get-together, the sitting and chatting along the table and food. So we need help. And please feel free. It's not just to fill this page, but even more is required so that not just one or two people are taxed with doing the same chore for 12 weeks. Let us all give them a break as well so we can rotate. And the people who come here will get an opportunity to meet more people in the church and be experienced by more of the love around. If you have any questions, please feel free to call me. The number's on that as well. Thanks.
So you've got people there that prepare meals, set up tables, take tables down, set up equipment, lead discussion groups.
Just
to give very briefly.
We've got small group discussion leaders.
That doesn't deal with their size, does it?
No. And those will be assigned to people who are gifted with teaching, I guess.
Perhaps.
Yeah. We need people to greet the newcomers for registration of the people coming in. We need help with audio and visual people. And here, it's not just for the elderly, even the youth can volunteer, the crew. Dinner setup and preparation. It takes a long time. It takes. There have been people really dedicated to do this in the past, and I'd like to see more involvement this time. We've got a new building to show off, so let's do it well. We need runners that will do the setup and take off, break down tables, chairs. Don't break down, sorry. Put them away, cleaning up after and before. We need somebody to help in worship, music, and entertaining. And entertaining. Auntie May, she's training to listen, sorry. Learning with laughter is helpful, so a few jokes here and there does help. We need help with the media, advertising, banners, mail walks, sending brochures out. I will have brochures by the end of the service today, so we can take some with us. Okay. And intercessors.
We will need prayer. And people on standby.
Thanks, Leslie.
I'm Carol, and I'm the chair of the Special Ministries Committee. And the Special Ministries Committee really coordinates several different ministries that are, and the purpose of it is to encourage and strengthen the church. So some of the areas that you might be involved in or could become involved in, number one is hospitality, and we just read this morning that we are to practice hospitality. That's a challenge we are given from the Scripture. And so if you would like to open your home on a Sunday afternoon and have a family in or one or two people in, doesn't matter how many, you could speak to Aileen Huzzy, and she heads up our hospitality committee. The other area is catering. And our catering committee, our catering teams, we have four catering teams, and they are made up of about 6 to 8 women. But their husbands can also help with the setup because they usually do coffee Sunday mornings 3 times a year. They also do 1 or 2 special events throughout the year, and that may be the Sunday school picnic. The Christmas dinner that's coming up will be done by a team of the catering team. So we're always in need of people on our catering team. Alpha is another opportunity. Now, a catering team does not do Alpha. Alpha usually is a group of women who are willing to set aside 12 weeks throughout the through that time from January, February, March, which... and then come and help prepare and serve a meal at the Alpha program. It doesn't have to be just women either. Actually, if you men like to cook, you're welcome to join them. Child care. We have as many people as possible. It would be willing to give up a Sunday and go and work in the nursery. They're always looking for help there. And Anna Marie heads up that the nursery program, and she would love to have any extra hands that are willing to help out there. Joy decorates the church, and I know that it comes Christmas, there's always some extra things that need to be doing, and if you'd be willing to help her in that, just speak to Joy Carter. Flowers are sent out to those who are ill or Marg Reamer does that. It's a ministry that is quiet and behind the scenes. But if you are a person who likes to visit shut-ins or would be willing to take the flowers and visit someone, Marg would love to hear from you. And you could help her in that way. Other special ministries that you could be involved in would be the Women's Retreat Committee, which will be heading up the retreat for the women coming in April, organizing the prayer pal evening, or there's a men's breakfast once a year in the spring, and those are areas that there's always a need for help. The special committee, ministries committee, is also open for any ideas you might have. When John asked me if I would just list some of the things of special ministries, I happened to be reading at the time he phoned, and I was in Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 10 says, God will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and as you continue to help them.
Very good. Thank you. Frank Willett.
Thank you, John.
The sphere of ministry that I'm interested in is prayer. And I think it's the greatest instrument of service. Now, prayer is...
Can you hear me back there?
Is it not on? It's on. I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry. What I was going to say was that all our spiritual gifts are basic to prayer. Without prayer, we can't accomplish anything. Prayer changes things. And prayer can even change the forces of nature and also can change the direction of nations. So we have a great power at our resource. And, you know, it doesn't take any qualifications to pray. You can be an educated person. You could be someone who is down and out. And if the Lord hears our prayer, no matter what our sphere of might be as far as economics is concerned, and it's not limited. Prayer is not limited to a building. We can pray at any time. And, resource is always there. And amazing thing, it passes through walls, and it passes through, it goes into palaces, and it goes into prisons. No matter where prayer is offered, it reaches the very heart of the person that is prayed for. And that's the amazing thing about prayer, is that it blesses not only the person that prays, but it blesses the person that is prayed for. So there's a reflective aspect of prayer, sort of like a boomerang. And of course, God is in it. Unless his omnipotence, his omnipresence and omniscience of God. On Sunday mornings, a few of us gather for prayer up in the little prayer room up just above the baptistry here. And I'd like to invite some more to come and pray with us. And I really look forward to that little time of prayer. And so at 9:30, I'm going to take this opportunity at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. If you're not involved in anything, please come and pray with us that God will use the message that goes forth and that to encourage us to honor and serve Him. And so that's basically my sphere of service in this assembly. And it gives me great pleasure and gives me great joy to be able to take part in that.
Hi, my name is Nargis Abraham, and I've been setting up and looking after the ESL ministry for the last few years. And what we do is we set it up as a service to the neighborhood and also as a little bit of an outreach, because we do include a little Bible lesson towards the end of the 2 hours that we spend with the students. And the gift of teaching certainly helps when you want to teach ESL to anybody, but we do it more as a help to the neighbors around here. So it's basically one-on-one. We have almost one teacher for two students, or maybe three, sometimes it's just one person sitting with a person who needs help with their English. So it's more a helping ministry rather than teaching. So if you have a heart for talking with somebody or helping them and encouraging them in their life and telling them, you know, what it is like to live in Canada, it's going to come out on Monday evening. Our focus is mainly on conversation. We want to learn how to speak, and believing we get no chance or very little chance to speak English outside of the time they come and meet with us, because they live within their own community and speak their own language. So it's one-on-one most of the time. We have some books just to give it some structure, but we can also talk about all other things that's going on in their lives. There is a Bible story, like I said, and that's structured so that we can teach them the languages, right? There's refreshments, so if you would like to come and help out with the refreshments, we have Marianne, who's been coming for the last 2 years, and we really appreciate her help. As far as the teachers are concerned, we have Alan and Barbara in town, Dave and Pat and Jim and Debbie and Maurice and Christine and Tracy, Melinda, and Sharon have all come out and helped her. So if you're interested, we'll be starting the winter session on January the 20th. We go for 11 days on Monday from 7 o'clock. And you can contact me, Nervis, or you can contact Warren, who's more likely to be.
And last, certainly not least.
Hi, I'm Raj, and I'm going to just touch on a ministry that we've been doing here on Saturday nights for the last 2 months. It's called Saturday Night Live, Fewer Laughs, More God. So that way we don't want to confuse it with any late-night comedy sketches that are on TV. We target 18 to 35-year-olds. It's hour and a half service once a month. We our mission statement is to encourage young adults to discover and walk in Jesus Christ. And we feel that we have a good base by targeting churches, brethren churches in the lower mainland so far, and encouraging groups where they may only have two or three college and career people, you know, or 10, you know, to come out and join with us for a time of singing as a short message and a time of food and fellowship. In the new year, we are going to be targeting some churches in the Burnaby area and the New Westminster area to come and also join us. Included in that ministry, we have found that we essentially need five M's. Music, which is Luke. Message, which is being taken care of by John. Munchies, which is Christine Powell. And miscellaneous, which is Becky. She covers off everything else. And marketing, which is myself, which is why you're stuck listening to me. So If you think this is something that would be interested to you or someone you know, even if you're not in the 18 to 35 year range, you're more than welcome to come and check it out. And if you don't think it's something for you, we'd definitely love your prayer. Thank you.
And if you're over 35 and come and you think the music's too loud, then turn your hearing aid down. Now, thank you so much for the five of you. But as I say, that's only just a sampling of some of the things that occur at this assembly during the week. In the brochure, again, we have this insert. And it does list most of the ministries that or questions that are going on. It's in the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side is a corresponding name, which would be the person that you would ask with respect to that. So if you want to be involved, you feel that your giftedness and what the Lord's laying on your heart leads you to that particular way of serving, then contact that person. But that isn't necessarily the limits of it. And you'll see on the back, I've put down a few things just thinking of some other possibilities in the area of evangelism and teaching. We've heard from Raj with respect to Saturday Night Live and what the crew is beginning to do and reaching out to their age group in the greater Vancouver area. Discipleship, mentoring, there is a great need for interested, mature men and women to be involved with. I have more younger people available than there are mentors available. A periodic newsletter was suggested to the surrounding neighborhood, which would require all sorts of gifts and people. We have a website, which has just an amazing ability to reach vast audiences. Service to disadvantaged groups, whether they're financially needy, disabled or others, including perhaps a food and clothing bank, financial counseling, assistance with finding and keeping employment, etc. Counseling, there is a need for counseling in so many areas. Obviously, people would be having to be motivated and trained in those areas. Visiting and caring for shut-ins and other less mobile people. Ministry to young mothers and preschool children, which I understood happened at this church some time ago and was a great blessing. But for some reason, the people are no longer, they've moved to other locations, and that ministry now could be resurrected and be an amazing ministry throughout the week. Tutoring youth after school. Wayne Fung, our Sunday school superintendent, instead of going with daily vacation Bible schools, has suggested that having a tutorial session where you would have older men and women meet students who would come here after school and have some, I don't know, cocoa and cookies or whatever, and then you would help them with their homework. Although I'd be a little stretched on seeing May teach algebra, I think that she could teach lots of other things and helping them with other things. If, of course, once you get more mobile again. Can you hear me? She's so we have lots of opportunities that are available here. And then there's the annual neighborhood fair and short-term missions, things of that nature, and we could have had people speak on those who have been involved in short-term missions. Take risks with ministry. Sharon and I are involved in perhaps the largest correspondence school in the world. It's called Emmaus Correspondence School. It's a Christian correspondence school. And it was started during the Second World War for actually reaching soldiers who had come to faith in Jesus Christ and teaching them the basics of the faith. Started in Canada. And people after that went all over the world as missionaries and started designing and printing correspondence lessons in their particular language for their particular people group. We ended up doing this, and we got letters from all over the place. We supply to Lighthouse Harbor Ministries, for example. But we get interesting letters. I would like to see this actually coordinated with Westminster Bible Chapel. If there were the people who were interested to be pen pals with some of these students. Ended up getting a letter from somebody asking us to send one particular course to this particular person's name, and because this goes on the web, I don't want to mention names because it's a Muslim country. Egypt, in this case. So I was asked to send it care of the Ottawa the Ottawa External Affairs Department for the embassy in Cairo, Egypt. Not knowing what this was about, I sent this and forgot about it. Months went by, and we finally got a letter back from a Nigerian man who had been a mule. Now, in legal terms, a mule is a person who carries drugs across borders. And he got caught, this young Nigerian. 20-year sentence. And he was 7 years into his sentence, and he was 37 years of age. And I will not be giving out names, but this gives you enough information. The first letter in 1998 was, "It is a pleasure to write you this letter in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is," and I won't give you his name, 37-year-old Nigerian serving life sentence, 20 years on drug charges in the above-named prison. He had come to faith in Jesus Christ in a prison in a Muslim country. Once he gets out, of course he's going to be from age 30 to age 50 in prison, and under very desperate circumstances. The Saudi government, for example, gives money to people that are willing to convert to Muslim, to be Islamic, and they are given great privileges. They're given more food, they're given comfortable surroundings and all the rest. If you are a Christian, you are basically on your own. You have to do laundry for people, you have to make beads, and you have to just try to find support because they just give them a basic gruel. These people are not treated well at all in these prisons. And this is a moderate Muslim country. Allah is merciful. He writes in June 1999, "It is a pleasure to greet and say hello to you over there. Peter says that salvation is found in none other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Deep inside from my heart, with the nicest feelings and most special thoughts, to say thank you for showing that you really make my life in here special. My pen cannot express the joy and happiness in me for your encouraging letter. I receive the blessing of your prayer. Word of God is spirit. I am so glad for your loving care. My name brought up in a church prayer meeting, and your son asked about me. It surprises me so much that someone over there cares for me in prison." This letter I got in June 1999 with a list of 9 more prisoners that had come to faith in Jesus Christ. May 2004, "I do hope all is well with you. I am so sorry for the delay of these lessons, and to tell you the truth, this is not as it used to be for me due to financial circumstances. I stopped my washing and making beads work due to health concerns. But all in all, God is providing for me and assisting me to overcome the situation." Concludes with, "Greet everybody for me. You have a special place in my heart. I always remember you in my prayers. Peace, joy, love, and grace of our Lord are all there just for you and those you love. Hugged and holy kiss, XXX. God yearns to reach a needy world, and He has chosen to do it through us. I urge you, my brother, my sisters, start living, start doing. Let God work through you to touch the lives of a needy world. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we pray that by your Spirit you would lay upon our hearts the call to serve, the need to serve. And we pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts, that you would give us direction, that you would enthuse us, so that we can be used by you to reach this needy world. Father, let us not simply look at these weeks of teaching as something nice, but let them stir our hearts to live for you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We've gone a bit over time, so we'll bring this part of the meeting to a close and continue phase two with some fellowship downstairs. Please be back here at around 11:30, maybe a few minutes before, when we remember the